not fret. This must be something we're all inclined to do, because this command is repeated 3 times right at the beginning of this psalm that we look at this evening. Do not fret. To fret is wrong in itself. But when we fret, we usually draw other things along as well. Envy, says the psalmist. Do not fret or be envious. Evil, he says in verse 8. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Fretting is wrong, and it accentuates and increases wrong. So how do we know if we are fretting? We fret when we look around at how things are in the world, how they have become, and we get annoyed. We fret when we allow the things we see happening to upset us and make us angry. Do not fret because of evildoers, says the psalmist. So this psalm confronts us with a problem which we have all no doubt wrestled with at some time or another. How is it that evildoers or lawbreakers seem to get on well? The psalmist says evil men succeed in their ways. They seem to get on well. They seem to succeed. Terrorists walk the streets free from any penalty. A parade goes through the middle of Belfast, glorying in immorality, and receives funding from the public purse. Irresponsible financiers continue to receive huge bonuses. And in many parts of the world this evening, godly men and women are persecuted, and those who follow falsehood are in places of power and privilege. Do not fret when evil men succeed. We live in a world surrounded with injustice, where many things are unfair. The psalmist says, do not fret. Don't get annoyed, angry about this. Don't become frustrated when you see all of this. And isn't this a counsel that we all need? Actually, you see, it's quite easy for us, unknowingly and unwittingly, to stir each other up and to provoke each other to fretting. We do it when we say to one another, isn't it ridiculous how they get away with it? We do it when we say, why is nothing done about it? Unknowingly, we may in fact be promoting in one another strong feelings of annoyance. We may be causing one another to fret. So the psalm says, do not fret. Keep calm. Be cool. And there's an overwhelming reason why we should not fret. Right at the beginning, we're told, don't fret, because the story hasn't ended yet. What you're seeing in the world at present is not the last episode. The final chapter has not yet been reached. So, do not fret. Do you ever, when you read an exciting novel, feel tempted to skip across to the last page to see if everything does actually work out well? That sometimes is a temptation, but it would spoil the novel. But knowing about the conclusion doesn't spoil the psalm. The psalmist opens by telling us how the story will end. Do not fret for evil men, for this will all change. The grass will soon wither, they like the grass will soon wither, like green plants will soon die away. Your response to the apparent prosperity and success of the wicked is not to envy, but to pity. And as you go through this psalm, the sense of pity should increase and grow and increase. Time and again we're told of the ending of the story. Evil men will be cut off. They will be no more. Never ever think that those who live in disobedience to God are having an easy time or an easier time. That's short-sighted. Do not fret. And yet, of course, we must admit, mustn't we, that actually it's difficult not to fret, to keep calm when we see so much injustice and unfairness, and especially if you experience it personally. It's difficult to keep calm and not to fret. But there is a way. And it's set out here in this psalm. And the way to do that is to focus your hearts on your walk with God. Four instructions we look at this evening in the opening verses that we read from the psalm. And all of them concentrate on our walk with the Lord. And if you follow these instructions, that will keep you from fretting. That will enable you to live in this unfair, unjust world in a way that's honouring to God. That will enable you to bear a good testimony to the Lord Jesus. So let's look at these four instructions. And they're very similar, aren't they? Trust in the Lord, verse 3. Delight in the Lord, verse 4. Commit your way to the Lord, verse 5. Be still before the Lord, verse 7. First of all, then, trust in the Lord. The Christian life is a life of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It begins by faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And the life of faith is expressed in this psalm in an interesting way. You'll notice how he goes on to expand it. Trust in the Lord. And it involves certain things that will be the natural consequence of trusting in the Lord. Do good, dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture. Faith needs to be nourished to enjoy safe pasture. It needs to grow. It needs to be fed. We need to feed our faith. And to do that on the promises of God, that he is ruling and reigning, controlling. Trust him. One writer suggests that to trust in the Lord here has a very specific meaning, and that it means, actually, that there are things we must leave in the hands of God, and therefore are not to fret about them or become annoyed. Leave them with him. He is ruling and nothing is hidden from him. He is acting in wisdom and justice. Leave them with him. But that is not, of course, to suggest that we're only passive, as it were, because the psalmist says that trusting in the Lord will have this consequence: doing good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the way he calls you to live. Carry out the responsibilities he's given you. Live for him in the situation where he has set you. Dwell in the land. That's the implication of that. Stay in the place where God has set you and fulfill the responsibilities He has given you there. Don't fret and become anxious and annoyed and upset about where you are or what your responsibilities are. Live them out. The Lord's word is saying, where you are right now, do good. Do what He has given you to do. And live as He is calling you to live. That's the alternative to fretting, isn't it? Trust in the Lord and do good. Can I give us a simple personal illustration? I remember the first time I had to pay an electricity bill. I was living in my own home. I was responsible for the use of the electricity, and the bill landed one day on the mat. First one I'd ever got. I had to go down and pay it. I must confess to feeling a certain amount of annoyance. Not because of the amount of the bill or anything like that, but because I knew, as everybody else did, that at that point in the history of our province, there were lots and lots of people in various places who never paid an electricity bill. There were no-go areas where authorities couldn't reach. And as I went down to pay my bill, I confess to a certain feeling of fretting or annoyance. And then graciously, the word came to me. And the word says, do not fret. Do good in the place where God has set you. And doing good means paying your bill. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, the place where He set you. Do good there. Continue to feed your faith that it will grow stronger. How can we avoid fretting? First of all, trust in the Lord. Secondly, delight in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The word really likes to draw a caricature of the Christian, somebody with a long face, afraid of stepping out of line, someone who never enjoys himself. It's a lie which the devil wants to spread. The Christian life is a life of faith, but also a life of joy. You cannot read through the New Testament or the Old Testament and not be aware that the Christian's life is a life of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The psalmist, delight yourself in the Lord. And isn't that really vital at this point in this psalm? He's been talking about evil men, about the success of those who violate God's order and law. He's been pointing out those things which may make us fret and become upset and frustrated and annoyed. And you could easily lose any sense of joy. And so this second direction comes. Don't lose that sense of joy. Delight yourself in the Lord. To delight in Him follows immediately after trusting in Him. And as one writer puts it, the person who trusts in God finds Him to be a source of exquisite delight. He is supremely holy and righteous and awesome in His majesty, but we can delight in Him. And is it not true, do you think, that the better we know Him, the more we delight in Him? The Christian's joy, you see, is never really dependent on things or possessions or circumstances or successes. Our delight is in the Lord. The psalmist says elsewhere, He is my chiefest joy. And since He is unchanging, shouldn't my joy be constant also? I wonder, are we delighting in the Lord? You'll want to spend time with him. You'll want to listen to him. You'll want to speak and bring your praise to him. You'll want to come to worship him. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is right and good. But not only that. You see, there's something else added. This is remarkable, is it not? We ought to delight in the Lord. We ought to be doing that. And if this verse ended that halfway through, it would still make perfect sense. Delight yourself in the Lord. But in fact, it doesn't end there. There's a promise added. A promise to encourage us to do the very thing which is right and good. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts. If you delight in him, he will give us our heart's desire. What a comprehensive assurance that is. So how do we understand it? That all the desires of our hearts will be given to us. Well, can't we understand it really by saying that whoever delights in God will want and desire the things which are pleasing to him. Delight in God, and you will want the things that are according to his will. Isn't that how it is? You'll want those things, like faith. That'll be your desire for more faith, for love, for wisdom, for holiness. This promise, you see, is repeated in other places too. Let me give a couple of them. The New Testament, John's first letter. If we ask anything according to his will, if we desire the things that are according to his will, he hears us. And we know that we have the requests we have asked of him. Delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Or our Savior's Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and all these things will be added to you. You see how they sit together. Do not fret. How can you not? In such a world as this, well, trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Thirdly, commit your way to the Lord. It does seem very likely that actually the Apostle Peter was thinking back to this part of the psalm when he wrote his letter. You remember what he said? Cast all your care upon him because he is caring for you. Bring all your anxieties and all your burdens and all your concerns and leave them with him. And there is a great parallel between what David says here and what Peter writes later. Commit your way to the Lord. Cast your care upon him. The word that's translated here as commit is translated in other places as roll. R-O-L-L. That's its literal meaning. Roll your way. Roll your concern to the Lord. If you have a big stone and you want to clear the path, you have to roll the stone out of the way. And when you've done that, you've moved it from one place to another. It isn't any longer sitting where it was a while ago. It's been rolled away. It's moved somewhere else. Roll your way unto the Lord. And one scholar explains this in this way. He says, dislodge the burden from your shoulders and move it across to God. Cast your anxiety on him because he is caring for you. What is it you're anxious about? What is the burden of your concern? Bring that. What is causing you to fret? Bring that and leave it with him. And once again, there's not only this gracious, kind direction, but added to it is a promise. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. We're very quick to jump to our own defense. We like to guard our good name. We don't want anybody to run it down. But the psalmist says, leave that with God. Leave that with Him. Spurgeon says, if we look to His honor, He will see to ours. Don't worry about your reputation. Don't worry about what people say or think. You're living in an unjust world. Live faithfully. Live delighting in the Lord. Live by casting your care on Him. And He will make sure that your name is guarded. How can you avoid fretting? Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And finally, in verse 7, wait patiently for the Lord. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Some people can be quiet in a bad way. They go all quiet because they are sulking, like King Ahab. You remember Ahab turned his face to the wall. He lay sulking, wouldn't speak, didn't talk. He was very, very quiet. But it was a bad kind of quietness. But this is a good quietness. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And it's more than just being someone who has a kind of quiet disposition. And it's more than just taking a rest. This is the holiday season. This is the time when people have a rest, when your watch isn't so important as it normally is. But being still is far more than that. One of my favorite writers says here, in other words, mere stillness is not enough. What is needed is a quiet waiting upon God. The very opposite of fretting. Wait patiently for Him. He is accomplishing His purpose in you and for you. He is accomplishing His purpose in you. He's making you more and more like Christ. And He's accomplishing His purpose for you. He's causing everything to work for your good. Be still before Him and wait patiently. Do not fret. Do not get worked up and annoyed and upset at all the things you see in this unjust world. Remember, the story isn't finished yet. Concentrate on your walk with God. Trust in Him. Delight in Him. Cast your care on Him. Wait for Him. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't it a wonderful counsel we're given? How great this is. What a great way to live. Here's this unjust, unfair world. Every day, on the news, in your street, in your contacts, you know that it seems so back to front. Why is it that the wrongdoer and the evildoer seems to succeed? It can be so upsetting. Do not fret. How can I not? Here's the way. Trust, delight, commit. and wait. Perfect, perfect counsel. Isn't it marvelous? Wouldn't you want to be like this? Wouldn't you want to live every day like this? Has anyone ever done it? Only one. Only one has ever done it. Only one has lived a life without any fretting. The Lord Jesus, in his life, in an unfair, unjust world, lived trusting in his Father, delighting in him, committing his way to him, and waiting patiently on him. And he will enable you and me to do that as well. This psalm points us to the only one who has lived in this way. But that's for our good, that we may look to Christ this evening and in him find the grace to trust and delight and commit our way and wait patiently on God. Amen.